What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
So, you're hearing this on a Saturday night. Normally, we record this on a Sunday night, but this week we're recording the first segment on a Tuesday night because my software done goofed the first time we recorded this, so we're re-recording segment one of What the Fuck. I'm Josh Hadley. With me is Charles McMullen.
Yeah.
And Kat.
Hi, guys.
So, yeah, we've already recorded this whole segment, so hopefully we can get the same energy we had the first time, because for whatever reason, my software decided, fuck you, only Josh's mic gets recorded. So there's these long gaps where I sound crazier than normal, that I'm asking questions and waiting for answers and interacting with nobody.
You should actually do a whole show like that. What is it, that comic that's like Garfield without Garfield?
Never seen that one.
John without Garfield.
John without Garfield, where they just like erase Garfield out of the comic strips and it just looks like John is this insane person talking to himself.
Yeah, John Arbuckle looks like just the saddest, most frightened man in the whole world.
But if Garfield was a figment of his imagination, then wouldn't that be accurate?
We want to get existential about it, yes.
I don't think Garfield was a figment of his imagination. I mean, he had a vet. My figments don't have vets.
That's because you don't carry them far enough.
I don't have the insurance either.
So the segment you're going to hear after Heart, that was what was recorded originally. So the tone might be a little bit different than the segment we're going to do now, because this is a redo. Let's get into...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Charlie, the first time we recorded this, you were eating McDonald's, so let's go with that. Okay. How many napkins did they give you when you had the McDonald's?
They gave me 2 napkins, and I needed neither one.
Kat, do you normally get napkins when you go to McDonald's, assuming you eat swill?
I think so, yeah. I can't remember the last time I ate there, but I'm pretty sure they gave me napkins. They do at all the other places I eat swill at.
Well, Webster Lucas has decided that McDonald's only giving him 1 napkin and not giving him any more is worth $1.5 million. He is suing McDonald's for $1.5 million because they gave him a single napkin.
What? I don't even. What is that? How is this our country? I mean, welcome to America, but we will sue anybody over anything.
Yeah, I think this is kind of a new low for litigious America. I mean, this is not even the first dumbass lawsuit that's been brought against McDonald's. This actually makes the coffee too hot lawsuit hold a little bit of fucking water, doesn't it?
Hold coffee.
Even better. So you don't burn your lady junk, which is what happened.
So here's what happened. This is in Pacomina, California, happened on June 29th, according to Webster Lucas. And Webster Lucas is black. That comes into play later, so I'm not just being racist. I'm saying he's black.
It was kind of racist that you felt you had to point that out.
That's the country we're living in. Sorry, dude.
Not that he was black, but that you're mentioning that he's black.
Shut up, you. He only got 1 napkin with his quarter pounder. He went up to the counter and asked for more. The manager, who is Mexican-American, mumbled something under his breath, "You people." Now, keep in mind, he's not suing for racism. The lawsuit is only suing over the 1 napkin. So the racism is just seems to be what set him off. His quote here, "I should have went to eat at the Jack in the Box because I didn't come here to argue over napkins. I came here to eat," unquote.
If I'd have known people were going to make such a big goddamn federal case out of napkins, I'd have gone to Jack in the Box, where they don't even have any.
I would have eaten tacos at Jack in the Crack.
Jack in the Crack, huh?
One of my
if
friends
that's not a restaurant, it needs to be.
Because the people who go there are on crack or meth, whatever. They're all on drugs.
I would eat there.
Well, you're on drugs.
Yeah, but he's on a relatively even keel drug.
I would even make it a thing with me and my friends. Hey, let's go Jack Crackin'.
Jack Kraken.
That's right.
It sounds like an old-timey expression for something. Boy, like howdy, we're going to have a Jack Kraken good time.
Did you just say boy howdy?
Boy howdy.
Maybe that's what they used to call anal back in the day.
I so hope it is.
So Lucas is suing for, quote, undue mental anguish. Would you have ever thought that napkins could have caused undue mental anguish?
Not even sanitary ones.
Oh.
I wish I were clever enough to make up some joke about how my mother was assaulted by a napkin in a dark corner, but no, I can't really imagine a situation. I mean, maybe if you were tortured by napkins by some torturers somewhere, you know, all they gave you was a room full of napkins and nothing greasy to need to wipe napkins. I don't know. I've got nothing. There is literally no reason why you should have mental anguish from napkins.
Well, let's move on from McDonald's stupidity to cow fucking. In Herkimer County, New York, I think if you're
yes.
in Herkimer, you're set up for cow fucking to begin with. Two men are facing criminal charges for filming themselves fucking cows. The two accused, 35-year-old Michael Jones and 31-year-old Reed Fontaine, were caught by spy cameras performing sex acts with the cows, and they themselves were recording these sex acts. Now, I don't know if they were recording these for their own amusement or if these are going to wind up on some website. I'm a little afraid.
Cow sex porn. What?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? People have their fetishes, and who are we to judge? Except if you have a fetish and that fetish is fucking cows, you should buy your own cows. You shouldn't. Don't. Please don't. But, you know, it's one thing for your fetish to be a thing. Whatever. You like what you like. It's another thing to go rape somebody else's cows. I mean,
Whoa. Nobody said anything about rape. Maybe they were, like, coming on to the guys. We don't know.
I mean, did you see what they were wearing? Those black spots and the certain... I don't know.
Perhaps
whatever.
Her milkshake brought those boys to the yard.
I was utterly disgusted by this.
I have nothing.
Okay, well, first of all, as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to go buy the domain name Cowpokes of Herkimer County, because that's going to be a valuable website to have if what you're saying is true. Second of all, I am very offended by this just from an animal cruelty standpoint, although I don't know how much harm they're doing. But I think this is all because of the dude's name, Reed Fontaine. I'd like you to let that name just roll around for a while. Reed Fontaine is the scummiest name that's ever been real. I mean, it sounds like a fake name, so I think with that name, he just feels like he can do whatever the fuck he wants. And, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants. In his case, it's fucking a cow in front of a camera.
Well, because what happened was the farmer noticed that his cows stopped producing as much milk and seemed anxious. I don't know if that's positive or negative. So he set up a hidden camera in the barn to see what was going on. Well, he went to check the footage and found Jones and Fontaine. Actually, I'm going to say it. Reed Fontaine. It's a fun name to say. Reed Fontaine.
Right?
It's so real, it's fake.
No. Reed Fontaine and the Joneses.
Reed Fontaine and Jones. It sounds like a cop show on NBC.
My name is Reed Fontaine. I'm sure you recognize the Joneses.
And they were charged with misdemeanor sexual misconduct. Surprised it's a misdemeanor, but okay. And like I said, to me, the main issue here is, was this for their own amusement or did this go further? That is Reed Fontaine like a big name in the cow fucking porn industry? I'm afraid to find out because there's no way I'm Googling that.
Well, it sounds like a porn name. Reed Fontaine sounds like a made up porn name.
It does, but do people in cow porn really need to make up their, well, I guess maybe.
Maybe the cows have made up names.
Come here, Bessie. Nah, Bessie's too commonplace. You need something like shake milk. Sorry.
See, I'm just picturing the news headline.
I would have went with Karen, but that's just me.
Milky White.
Well, hey, if you think about it, then what about maybe is what aliens do to cows when they come and steal your cows and like dissect them and shit? Maybe they're anal probing them like they're doing to the hillbillies and this is all coalescing. Or I'm really reading too much into this.
I'm not saying it's aliens, but
it's aliens.
Aliens.
Yeah. If you guys can't tell, we're a little more relaxed than we were probably were the first time we did this segment, but that's the great thing about doing this a second time, I guess. All right, let's move on from that to Bitcoins and the Mt. Gox disaster. I don't trust Bitcoins. I never did, and Mt. Gox actually proves why. Well, Bitcoins were supposed to be the next big thing. That it was it's an internet-only currency. It's not backed by anything other than what it's backed by, you know, word, basically. but you translate real money into Bitcoin. And just like if you're going through an exchange of dollars to pounds or cougarands or whatever, even though cougarands are now illegal, but you get my point, there is an exchange rate. So you can invest, say, $100 million in Bitcoins, and then if you cash out when the exchange is going higher, you can maybe make $150 million. So it was also an investment deal. Would you guys trust your money to an internet-only currency?
Simple answer is no, absolutely not. You don't want to take something solid that you can put your hands on. Even if you're putting your money in a bank, you can still put your hands on it. You know, it's still, even though now it's just numbers on your statement, you can withdraw that money and hold it in your hands, and you can drive to your bank and do this. You're just putting your money into the web and it's going to go off and you're never going to see it again. And like, it's so unstable and scary to think about. I would never, ever do it.
Well, first of all, I would like to invite all of our listeners to submit their remix, some kind of a techno beat, because Kat just said, put your hands on it like a whole bunch of times, and that could be hilarious. But
please,
other than that,
auto-tune that shit.
Oh my God, that would be awesome. But other than that, I don't know if I would want to invest all three of my dollars in something so intangible.
Well, and then also there's a trust issue here. You know what Mt. Gox stands for, since this is the second time we're doing it. Would you like to explain to the people what Mt. Gox is?
You're going to have to tell me exactly what it stands for, but I know it had to do with Magic the Gathering.
Magic the Gathering cards. Online exchange.
Magic the Gathering.
So this started off as a place for Magic the Gathering fans to trade and sell their cards with one another. Then they got into the Bitcoin business, and somehow people decided, yes, I want to trust these people with my money. Well, what happened was, the reason we're talking about this is, Mt. Gox got hacked. $400 million worth of Bitcoins are gone.
Wow.
$400 million went missing due to a hack. Now, that means that $400 million is gone. This isn't like the Federal Reserve where you're backed, like if your bank gets robbed. All of your banks should have one of those statements, how you're insured up to a certain dollar amount. None of that. $400 million is just gone. And these are from investors, regular people, businesses that were converting over to Bitcoin. What kind of impact do you think this will have on the actual financial world?
It's kind of hard to say, because I don't really know how many of the average common folk actually put their money in Bitcoins. It doesn't seem like that was... Regular normal people.
Just I don't hear people called common folk that often outside of a D&D campaign.
Sorry, I'm getting with the theme.
The squares.
It could be all that Game of Thrones I've been watching, but the peasants, I don't know how often peasants put their money into magical internet Bitcoins. So obviously the everyday Joe Schmo is probably not going to be affected. The future of Bitcoins is probably a lot shakier, though.
When we talked about this the other night, I had no idea what Bitcoins were or what the point of any of that was. Like, why would people do it? It's just some invisible internet currency that can't be redeemed anywhere. But the more we talked about it the other night, you said that people use Bitcoin because it's untraceable, so they can buy, like, underage prostitutes and...
child porn,
you know,
and they can hire hitmen.
Yeah, child
drug
porn,
deals,
human trafficking.
And, yeah.
All kinds of shit like that. And I was hoping by tonight I would have matured a little bit and tried to see the other side of the story, but I can't. I feel the exact same way about this tonight. The only people that are being affected by it are companies that are run by people stupid enough to invest in something that does not exist outside of the people that are telling them it exists. Companies like that are being hurt, and people that would buy child porn and human slaves and black market shit, now it's going to be more difficult for them without Bitcoin. I'm struggling to find a victim in this story, and there is not one.
To a degree, there might be. Because, like I said, some legitimate businesses, larger companies, were putting some of their liquid assets into Bitcoin. Well, now they're going to be out X amount of millions of dollars. Do you think they're just going to absorb that? No. They're going to pass that cost on to you. I don't know if Netflix was one, but just for an example, let's say Netflix was one. Say they lost $100 million in this. well, they're going to pass that on by your Netflix bill going up. The public will still be affected, just maybe not directly or right away. Does that make sense?
It does. I understand where you're coming from with that, but I would not even find myself as a victim in that, because I would happily pay a higher tax if it meant that idiotic CEOs and internet perverts aren't going to be able to make the world a more horrible place. I consider that paying my share.
Okay, Charlie drew his line in the sand. Kat?
I don't really know how much. I guess it depends on how many companies have actually invested in this, because obviously somebody's out some money and they are going to pass that cost. $400 million
is a big number, though.
$400 million is a big number. I'm trying to think of this in relative terms, because how much did they just announce that Bill Gates is worth? It really just depends on how many companies themselves were invested in this. For a big company, like a huge corporate giant, $400 million is not a lot of money. So I guess it would just depend on the number of companies who were involved in this. If it was like smaller, you know, like family businesses or something like that, they're totally fucked and they could easily go under. But like big businesses, it's still a lot of money, but it might only be just like maybe 100 businesses. It's not like, I seriously doubt like thousands of businesses were invested in Bitcoins, you know?
That makes sense. There's also a conspiracy theory here that has some credibility to it, that because this is a completely unregulated industry, there's a theory that Mt. Gox wasn't hacked, that $400 million was all embezzled, and they're just going, oh, hackers, untraceable hackers, sorry, and they're sitting on that $400 million, which they can then go into some other Bitcoin exchange, obviously not all at once, because if all of a sudden $400 million shows up in a Bitcoin exchange, it's going to be a little flag raising, but they could parse this out little by little. I don't know. The embezzlement conspiracy theory holds a little bit of water this time, doesn't it?
That could easily be. I think it would take them a long time to get their money's worth out of it. But I can also see how this could easily really be a hacking, since there's probably not a whole lot of, again, this is unregulated, so there probably aren't very many security regulations that are in place either. And as we've seen with with what happened with Target, even very huge companies with a lot of security in place are still going to get hacked and people's information is going to be compromised. So it could go either way. I could easily see it being an inside job. I would picture that as the movie version, like the movie version where they create some crazy scheme and now they're sitting on a beach.
And John McClane stops them.
Yeah, John McClane stops them, or they end up on a beach in Mexico trading their magic cards. Either way.
I don't know. I'm still trying to find the victim in this, and I can't really do it, because I do feel somewhat bad for the business owners that got into this with the best of intentions and just got completely fucked. They would be victims. But I can't imagine anybody worth feeling bad about being dumb enough to invest their assets in Bitcoins. So this is still a tricky story for me. I think if that conspiracy theory does hold water, I think this whole – I'm going to knock that up a notch. I think this whole thing was perpetrated by someone who has roughly my point of view on this, who just wanted to punish the people that don't need money or shouldn't have money, really.
Well, there's also one other angle. Do you think this will have an impact on – I mean, obviously, Bitcoins themselves are going to be impacted with this, but – on the future of new currencies, because they've been trying to make an online currency since the early 2000s, and they thought they had it with Bitcoin. Do you think this is going to stop progress in that direction, or just make it more secure, in quotes?
I think it'll eventually lead to progress, because whenever something bad like this happens, like, okay, I know a lot of people think I'm about to compare it to 9/11. I'm not going to do that. Not comparing this story to 9/11. Not doing it. But if I were, whenever a tragedy or whenever a catastrophe happens, it seems to raise everybody's awareness about that particular subject. And eventually someone who says they can make it safer will get a lot of idiots to do whatever the hell he wants just for the promise of something being safer. So I don't think this is the end of Bitcoin. I just think it's going to get worse.
I don't think it's the end of online currency, because that is the direction that we're heading. We're heading gradually more towards the robots taking over and everything that you could possibly conceive of being available on a computer, and all transactions will probably eventually be that way. It is so early in this kind of currency that it's definitely a hit But I think that will eventually, like you said, it'll just make it stronger later down the road, because now we're going to have to pass regulations about this sort of thing. And people are going to be more cautious. People are going to be more selective. They're going to have to make this more professional than a bunch of Magic the Gathering online.
You just can't let that part go, huh?
I can't. It all goes back to, but it was made by people who get trading Magic the Gathering. Like, it was so funny to me.
We're good with money.
We're going to wrap this up. And now, after Hart, we'll come back to the segment we actually recorded on Sunday. So get ready for a tonal shift, guys.
Time travel.
Crazy though, they're meaner than a bull in a rodeo. Hey folks, I'm Hart D. Fisher, and now you've gotten to the heart attack part of What the Fuck. And of course, Josh Hadley is everywhere.
I am omnipotent, damn it.
Yes, you are. You're the omnipotent man behind the curtain, the great and powerful Hadley. No one pay attention to the all-powerful Hadley behind the curtain.
Unless you're in England, then you can't see it.
Well, guys, on Heart Attack, we talk a lot about different things affecting you that you might not know about, things that are affecting you every day. And one of the things that we talk about is we've been talking about water and chemicals in the water. I have a Time magazine here, and I've been aware of this quite a bit more. You know, my wife's a cancer survivor, and her cancer had a 50-50 shot of coming back. So I had to go nuts. I just went fucking gonzo doing research about cancer and about what causes it and about what I could do to help my wife stay alive, because a 50-50 coin toss is shitty fucking odds. And one of the things I found out that actually a lot of our drinking water is really fucking toxic, and actually it's really toxic for your kids. Now, this is from an article in Time magazine, guys. No conspiracy theory going on here. Simple fact. Because according to, the Harvard School of Public Health and the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, they've done a lot of research, and they're finding that a growing number of everyday products, including some bug sprays, cleaning fluids, and flame retardant furniture, could lead to an increased risk of brain and behavioral disorders in children. Why? Well, kids' brains are developing. You know, that's one of the things I tell kids, like, don't fucking smoke pot. Avoid the drugs when you're a kid, because your brain is your biggest weapon, guys. Forget about the muscles in your arms or your legs. Hannibal Lecter is dangerous because he's fucking smart. And he's going to outthink you, all right? Your brain is a very, very important thing. Well, according to these chemicals like, manganese, which is found in your drinking water, it's linked to lower math scores, hyperactivity, impaired motor skills, and a drop in IQ. Or how about carbonates found in pesticides? Like, propoxyr, used to kill cockroaches, flies, mosquitoes, and long bugs. Well, it's in your water. And it's linked to deficits in brain development. Or how about tetrachlorethane? I can't even fucking pronounce this chemical. It's in dry cleaning solvents. It's linked to problems in brain development and a higher rate of psychiatric diagnosis. Or flame retardants in furnitures, which are linked to disorders in brain development among kids with higher exposure in the womb. And now, I think I mentioned this on the full hour-long Heart Attack. Guys, if you have not heard the hour-long Heart Attack, you really need to. The Harvard has done a study on fluoride in the water. Now, they tell you, we want the fluoride in there for your teeth and da-da-da. And then the conspiracy theory guys go, no, the fluoride's in there to fuck up the population, da-da-da-da. Well, guess what, guys? The fact of the matter is that excessive fluorine in your water, the more fluorine in the water, the dumber your kid. The higher the amount of fluorine in your water, the dumber your kid's going to be. It's going to lower your kid's IQ from your tap water. Yeah. And gee, if anybody's been listening to What the Fuck for a long time, we talked about a little municipality in Chicago that was actually selling their residents poisoned water that they knew was poisoned so they could save fucking money. Now, fluoride is being added to 70% of U.S. public drinking water. That's a big fucking problem. And according to these studies, they show that there's thousands and thousands of prescription drugs showing up in the water because they can't get it out. They're not filtering it out. And they're finding issues of various runoff from pesticides in the water that's fucking us up. But I'm going to stick to the simple facts here. The fluoride in your water is making your kid dumber. There are chemicals in your regular drinking water that are fucking up your kids all over this country. How come we're not all over this? Why are we suspending a kid in school for making a finger gun, but we're allowing them to be poisoned by the water they drink at home out of the faucet? You know, this is one of the reasons I drink Hydra Blue. I drink Hydra Blue myself so that I could be healthier, so I could be smarter, so I could be better, so I could be better hydrated. I mean, I don't just do the Hydra Blue commercial because they're a friggin' I could be with Dasani, which is owned by Coke. I could have put up any water up there. But I want my listeners to get something better, to get an edge up on the competition. And that's why I drink Hydra Blue. This is why I push Hydra Blue. You know, it's doesn't have fluorine in it. It doesn't have fluoride in it. It's not put in a plastic bottle that's going to leach chemicals into the water when it's shipped to you in a hot truck in the middle of the day or when it's sitting in your book bag getting hot. That's what you're going to get from most bottled water. They're in these really shitty, fucked up containers. I mean, Josh, have you're a dad. Have you been paying attention to all this crap that's in the water?
Not really. I mean, to me, and I know how apathetic this sounds, but water's water. And I know that kind of goes against everything you just said, but I'm not going to lie about it either.
That's your feeling on it. You know, I used to have that feeling when I first moved to L.A. I made fun of people. Oh, I drank well water in Indiana. But as I've gone on and found out more and more, and believe me, when your wife has cancer, it fucking changes how you feel. And if you've got an 8-year-old kid, maybe you should be concerned. If you're trying to get little Johnny or Jenny to get better grades in school, maybe you should make sure that what they're eating doesn't fucking poison them or make them dumber. Because we don't need to have fluoride in the water. It's not necessary, all right? And not only that, but it leads to thyroid function problems, bone cancers. It inactivates 62 enzymes and inhibits more than 100. It causes genetic damage and cell death. Water is supposed to be the life, but we're turning it into a poison. And every time I turn around, there's more and more poison in what we eat and what we do. I mean, just the other week, we covered all about the beef recall and how that poison beef was going to be fed to kids in national school lunch programs. This is really sad. Fluoride also inhibits the movement of white blood cells by 70%. Do you know what white blood cells do, Josh?
They're your body's defense mechanism or chief defense mechanism.
Yeah, so how about this? Why are they trying to trick everybody into a flu shot you don't need? Folks, you don't need a fucking flu shot. It's the fucking flu. You're going to get over it. But if you're drinking fluoride water that inhibits the movement of white blood cells by 70%, that's not a little bit, man. 70% is a lot to have your guards, your security guards of your body knocked out. That's like being in a crowded, crazy bar and all the bouncers are just kind of stoned and watching people get beat up because they can't move by 70%. It's fucking ridiculous. And we can change this. We can contact our politicians and say, hey, motherfucker, you got to do something about this damn water. It's not just when West Virginia has a toxic spill. We got toxic spills all over the damn place. I haven't even begun to talk about the prescription drugs that are in your water. And these are facts, folks. These are the facts, assholes. But then again, Josh is telling me here, we're out of time. I'm Hart D. Fisher. Thanks for letting me give you a little bit of a heart attack. Come find me on the web. Find me on Twitter. Find me on Facebook. And don't forget to order some shirts. If you're in the UK, remember to opt out of the blocking system because 1201beyond.com has been blocked by the UK's porn filter. That's right. Our radio shows have been blocked by the porn filter. Fucking asinine.
I'm on the grid. I had all those issues with my not having water for 3 days last month, where water pipe froze in the street. It was kind of like going back to the Stone Age. Well, a woman in Florida has decided that she wants to be off the grid. Fine, fair enough. Florida says no. Kat, you sent me this story. Can you give us some of the why this one grabbed you?
I thought this was just a giant social injustice. So what's happened is that this woman is basically deciding not to use water or sewage, and therefore hasn't been paying any sort of water or sewage taxes. And now the government or the local authorities are telling her she has to pay water and sewage, even though she has gone out of her way to make sure that she doesn't use them.
That it's all horrible horseshit. I think this woman should be left the fuck alone.
Well, it kind of goes to, okay, the Koch brothers, you know, the double Mr. Burnses of the real world. The Koch brothers have been trying to push legislation that would penalize people for using solar panels because, quote, they are not doing their part. Not paying for your electricity and being part of the machine, you are not doing your part. So they want you fined if you want to not go off of electricity or hydroelectric or whatever kind of power your particular grid happens to be going off of.
Could they be more fucking supervillainy?
But the woman in question here is Robin Spiranis. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Robin Spiranis, and she's being told that she has X amount of days to hook back up to the city's pipeline or she will start to be fined. And they are trying to use code violations and sanitary conditions. They're basically saying she's using rainwater and all these things for her house, but because we can't regulate that, it therefore could be dangerous. On a certain level, because initially I don't think they were being dicks about this, the city. I think they were kind of looking at this as, we don't know how clean the sewage and the water that she is using, and for safety reasons, we at least want to inspect it.
Well, that one I was going to mention too. That one kind of made sense when I first read it, because even though she is being very environmentally conscious, pretty much everyone else is not that environmentally conscious, so the rain can have some fucked up shit in it.
I would hope she's filtering it, but I don't know.
Right. Well, when I read it, I didn't really imagine any kind of filtration system, so that I actually think is a safety concern. But for the most part, it just seems like, I don't know, it's industrialists saying, we don't know your water is safe because we haven't fucked with it yet.
What they're using is code compliance issues. They're saying, no, the city says you have to adhere to X amount of code, and you're not doing that, so you're in violation. They are technically right. They're just not morally right.
One of the things that they said was that, yeah, she's using rainwater. Rainwater can be toxic, whatever. That she was disposing of her waste in the sewer, like pouring it down a drain, basically.
Doesn't it end up there anyway?
Well, see, that's where I have to sort of agree where, okay, she is disposing of it, using the sewer system, but not paying a sewer tax. And that sort of is like, okay, I can kind of see where they could make a case there. But it really does feel like they're just forcing her to pay for utilities that she doesn't use.
I absolutely agree. This is ridiculous. I think this is basically the city saying, you do not have the right to not pay our bills, to not pay bills with us. It's like some other countries. Do you know, I think it was Thailand, it might be, that it is illegal to collect rainwater because of the contract that the city has with the water authority, that you can only get water from the city. If you collect rainwater, you can be fined.
Wow.
It's almost like bureaucracy run amok, isn't it?
That's really twisted.
I might be wrong that it's Thailand. It's one of the eight poorer Asian nations. I remember seeing this whole thing on how it's illegal to collect rainwater. You have to use the city's facilities. And I think this is bullshit, because if you want to live off the grid, if you're doing it in a sanitary and safe way, which from all indications she is, I don't have a problem with this.
And if anything else, if I were going to make a case against it, I wouldn't try and, you know, peg it as, well, you know, this isn't sanitary or anything, when it probably is. If I were to make a case about it, if she has any family, I would say something like child endangerment, because you can't monitor, there's no monitoring of the disposal of waste and the sanitation of the water. So if I were to make a case about it, I would say something like endangerment or something. I wouldn't try and fake a you need to be paying utilities bullshit.
I kind of agree with both of you on this. Whether or not conditions are sanitary is, you know, there's like a big gray area there. And as long as she's not, you know, a public health risk, I don't think she's doing anything wrong. And I do kind of see it as just a weird case of like bureaucratic jealousy. Like if I have to get no sleep because I'm up all night worrying about how I'm going to pay my utility bills, fucking she should too.
That's some bitter fucking shit. That's some bitter sour grapes right there, Charlie.
That's kind of what it seems like, though. I mean,
fair enough.
That's the most sense I can make out of that attitude that we're seeing here.
Because who really lives off the grid that well? Nobody really lives off the grid that well. This woman is extraordinary.
Glenn Beck would look up to her. So let's move on from that stupidity to some more serious stupidity. Well, Abilama finally did it. I guess I should not be surprised that Montgomery, Alabama did this, because Montgomery, Alabama is always known for its tolerance. Right, Charlie?
Rape.
Oh, no, I'm thinking more racial injustice.
Rape and racism and, yeah, like, every civil rights thing that we've ever talked about has pretty much been from Alabama.
Alabama has just decided that doesn't matter, church and state, doesn't matter anymore. That schools will have 15 minutes of public Christian prayer at the beginning of every school day, led by the teacher. The teacher cannot opt out of this either. Doesn't matter whether the teacher agrees with it. They will pray with their students, with Christian prayers, for 15 minutes every day. The creepy part? There was even some Democrats that voted for this. That broke my heart.
It's going to get overturned because it's fucking unconstitutional. And if it doesn't get overturned because it's fucking unconstitutional, then there's way more wrong with the state of Alabama than, well, oh God, there's just so much wrong with the state of Alabama. It's unconstitutional and it needs to get overturned.
Right. And I like the fact that the bill is written in such a way that it only Christian prayers. You're not gonna have a Jewish prayer. Oh, no. Muslim prayer? Not a chance. That's all violation of separation of church and state. No. Christian prayers, because they are asserting this. We are a Christian nation, and they are asserting the majority. The majority of Alabamans, Alabamtonians, I don't know, whatever. The majority of Alabama residents, Alabamanians.
There you go.
That sounds like a new country, really. But
it will be, sir.
The majority of Alabama's residents want this, so therefore it happens. And I think, here's my thing. Why is it so hard to get it through your heads? No religion in school. Why is this so hard? Why do they keep trying to chip away at this? If you want to pray with your kids before school, take 5 extra minutes and pray with them. Why must you force prayer on those who don't fucking want it?
It's a fear. It's such a prominent fear. And the fear is that the people that they are trusting their children to every single day, they are putting their children's education in the hands of people that if they don't trust, they don't believe for one second that teachers have the ability to teach anything unless it is morally grounded in religion. Like, they just don't think that their child is getting the right education unless Jesus is in your fucking classroom.
I can't believe what I'm hearing from you two. I, for one, think this is great. I would like to salute the Alabamians for what they're trying to do.
Damn it,
Kat, done...
he got pod-personed again, didn't he?
No, you hear me out. You guys are just – your glass is half empty on this. Just hear me out, okay? They have found a way to start dividing kids up according to their beliefs at the youngest age ever. You guys think this is a religious issue. It's just pretty much just a prejudice preschool. Like, it's a way to breed racism
when they're young and susceptible to the idea, so that whoever is doing this, I think, like, who would benefit from this? Like, unless you want to count white Christians. Okay, we'll use them as an example. What they're doing is they're teaching Christian kids to feel racially superior at the youngest age ever. So I think everything that Obama did to advance civil rights, I think they're, what is that game? Sorry? Sorry, knocked you two steps back.
Well, there's also the fact that this is one of the first times that, at least I can remember, the minority wins. 43% voted for this bill, and it was passed anyway. I'm pausing to let that sink in.
Yeah. Okay, so how does that work?
Because
was there a third option?
Nope. Because the chairman got to decide. So he basically, the vote was meaningless. The chairman got to make the decision regardless.
Yeah, what was even the point of having the vote if you're just going to let the person who's already biased in one direction make the final decision?
Sorry, chairwoman in this case. Mary Sue McClurkin. My God, is that an Alabama name or not? Mary Sue McClurkin.
That is totally the name that I already made up for this person before you said that.
I'm serious. I think I'm pronouncing McClurkin right. McClurkin. That's McClurkin, isn't it?
That is McClurkin. Jesus Christ.
Mary Sue McClurkin was the chairwoman of the committee.
Oh, what is happening?
I actually kind of wish I'd read that before, because that's funnier, and I would have gone with a different joke at the beginning of this. But
I don't think you need one.
This is also part of a larger issue of this forcing religion. This is getting sickening. What is going on here? You've got the Board of Education in Texas trying to get a bill passed that says Christianity can be taught in schools and only Christianity. This is the definition of myopic, isn't it?
This is just so depressing. This is Fox News, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fox News convincing ignorant Americans that religion is, you know, being assailed upon by moralists, atheists, and Islam, and any other thing that they want you to be afraid of. So there's this, we already know all of this, of course, but religion is not under fire.
Oh, apparently they think it is, because one of the riders on this bill is the religious expression bill. It would allow students to, quote, initiate prayer in school and express their religious beliefs in their schoolwork. The bill would also require schools to adopt a policy that would reinforce the rights of the religious students.
Even though those things are already there, they're just not written down because it's assumed by people with brains.
Well, this is Alabama, so people with brains is an oxymoron.
I know, but we just got through that in Missouri. We had that right to pray in school bullshit in Missouri, and it fucking passed because people are fucking stupid.
Okay, if you want your kids to learn religious teachings as part of a school program, there are religious schools for that. That is not what the public school is about. The public school is to teach you about math, about writing, about arithmetic, and about sexual harassment. It's not supposed to teach that last one, but it tends to. The point is, it's not about teaching religion. Okay, this is my biggest problem with religion. Why can't you just be religious on your own? Why does it bother you as a religious person so much that I'm not? Because I am a hardcore atheist. And yes, the only time I quote-unquote preach atheism is when I am going after someone preaching religion. Yet, I don't just get up in the town square and start preaching about how atheism is the true path to enlightenment. Yet the religious people will constantly preach and try to convert me to their side. Do you see how this is not weighted correctly?
I would just like for people to take notice that this is to religion what the Holocaust was to racism. This is like the first stage of Christianity making a bid for world dominance. And I think it's going to come to that. I think the Hitler of Christianity is going to present himself. And like this is a prequel to the Holocaust. Like the time that we're living in now is like a... Oh my God, this is just so insane that people don't learn from shit like this. This is Christianity making a bid for world domination, and I think it's very likely that it could happen.
I think we didn't learn anything from the Crusades. That you just have to fucking get over the fact that people don't believe what you believe. And it's just, it thoroughly, thoroughly disgusts me that the same people who are all about putting religion in schools are the people who praise America for its freedom. Who are all like, I live in America, land of the free, home of the brave. Unless they're, you know, they don't look like me, talk like me, or believe what I believe.
Oh, hell yeah. NPR was down south talking about getting Obamacare instituted, and they ran into a real dyed-in-the-wool, honest racist.
Did you vote for Obama in 2008?
No.
Why not? So that was before Obamacare. Why didn't
I don't vote for black people, lady. No, ma'am. I don't vote for black people. They got their place, I got my place. That's the way I was raised.
It was actually a shocking moment of racial clarity. He had no compunction with the fact that I'm white. I don't vote for coloreds.
You know, this reminds me of, and this is going to get off topic a little bit, but it's racism. There was a guy who came into my work one time. You know, you have to put on a good face for customers. And he was telling me about his whole life story and about how he went to visit his son stationed in Europe. And he says, you know, what was the best part about Europe? There wasn't any black people. And I'm just looking at this guy with the NRA hat on going, oh, my God, why did I move to this part of the fucking country?
But in a way, Kat, isn't that somewhat refreshing that they don't pretend they're like a Bill O'Reilly that's, I'm not racist, I only say racist things constantly, or a Rush Limbaugh? I don't know. I kind of respect the honesty, even if they're idiots for thinking it.
It's just, you know, where I work is not necessarily the place, you know, with my black supervisor and my Bosnian supervisor and my other, all the, you know, my place of work tends to be fairly interracial. And, you know, you can't just say that. You know, it's just, God, it's just so painful.
Well, and I don't think we're wrong to equate the racism with the religious issue here, because it kind of is religious racism in a way. My religion is the only real one. Everyone else is a substandard mongrel religion. That's what they're basically saying.
And these are the people who make Christians look bad. Other Christians hate these people because they're so few, but they're so vocal, and they're put into places of power by people who agree with them or don't care enough to disagree with them. And it fucks over everybody because now all Christians look like ignorant asshats.
Well, it's kind of the same way, Charlie, you and I have discussed. Your dad's an ex-cop. All the corrupt cops out there kind of rub off badly on him, don't they?
I can easily see where that works. Because Christianity and any kind of police corruption story you hear about, they all share the same quality of a few vocal assholes making everyone look like a dick, to put it in very vulgar, unnecessary terms, I might add. I'm not sure where that came from. But
You're never vulgar or unnecessary.
Thank you, man. That means a lot, especially coming from you. I do know what you mean, though. I mean, stories like this are a big part of why I'm the agnostic that I am. It's just religion has become so perverted and just a way for people to just beat their fucking chests and say, my God's dick is bigger than your God, if I can steal a line from Carlin.
But you got to remember, according to Brad's fans, Charlie, you're a pretty decent guy if you weren't such a militant atheist.
Yeah, that one kind of stuck in my craw. I don't want to give off that impression. I'm not a militant atheist. I just cannot claim any religion as the one that sucks the least.
All right, on that note, Kat, will you please pray with us where we can find you?
Yes, my children. If you turn to page 477 of the Lord's text, you will find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and on Facebook at NerdistCat. And if you turn to the next page, we'll recite the hymn of thatguywiththeglasses.com/podcast/nerd to the third.
Follow that, McMullen.
At Charlie McMullen on Twitter. Charlie McMullen on Facebook and at geekjuicemedia.com.
Seriously, that was a pretty good follow-up, though, huh, Kat?
No, that was really good. That was really good. I was, like, laughing the whole time. I had to have my microphone on mute.
That was some monk funk.
All right, and considering the monk funk, I'm just going to go straight. 1201beyond.com. 1201beyond@gmail.com, geekjuicemedia.com. Have a good night, guys.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.